RNZ Pacific, what a way. I'm Maratuila Epa-Taylor with the news. Fiji's government is warning a rise in waterborne diseases has the potential to be deadlier than tropical cyclone Kodi, which hit the country on Monday. The cyclone left one man dead with widespread flooding, forcing thousands of people from their homes on the main island of Viti-Levu. Three cases of leptospirosis have been recorded in the Western Division since the cyclone. Fiji's Minister for Disaster Management, Inia Seruiratu, says while COVID-19 continues to grip the country, there's a need to beware of other deadly illnesses.
The outbreak of communicable diseases are common in the aftermath of disasters, such as cyclones and floods. To help prevent any major outbreak of contagious diseases, the ministry intends to raise awareness, educate the affected population.
Fiji's government will launch a door-to-door campaign across the country to combat leptospirosis, typhoid, dengue and diarrhea. Tropical cyclone Kodi has now intensified into a Category 2 cyclone, and strong winds associated with the system is affecting parts of Fiji as it continues to make its way to open waters. The head of Maritime in Solomon Islands says that the New Year's Day boating tragedy could have been avoided if basic safety measures were allowed. A boat carrying 14 people, including 9 children, left at Gizo for the Shortland Islands but failed to reach their destination. The body of a woman was found near Zenor Island on January the 4th, about 100 kilometres from the Shortlands, but 13 other passengers remain missing. Terry Neuville says images circulating on social media that show the passengers were not wearing life jackets are concerning.
We understand that the boat was overloaded with 14 people plus some cargo and cement, a drum of fuel, a coffin, and we believe that the boat capsized because of the overloading.
Terry Neuville says police are working with the families of those missing. The Northern Marianas has recorded its 20th COVID-19 related death. It comes as the government reports 49 positive COVID cases through surveillance and travel testing. The Commonwealth Healthcare Corporation's Chief Executive Officer, Esther Muna, has also advised the public to swap out cloth masks for surgical masks to better protect themselves against COVID-19 and its highly transmissible variants. The CNMI has hit a 97% full vaccination rate. New Zealanders are keen to head back to Rarotonga when the quarantine-free travel bubble reignites. An Air New Zealand spokesperson has told RNZ Pacific flights have been booking up fast, but there are still some available. Quarantine-free travel is set to resume this Friday, with the first flight scheduled for Saturday. The national carrier says one service per day has been planned so far. Additional services have not been added just yet, with demand not as high as the opening of the previous travel bubble in May last year. Only fully vaccinated people can travel to the Cook Islands. French Polynesia's newest domestic airline has started recruiting staff in the hope of launching flights in April. A local company, Netereva, obtained an operating license for Air Moana last month and is now seeking 15 captains and 15 officers. The carrier has been authorised to transport goods and passengers, but is yet to receive the final certificates to service the 21 planned destinations. The airline, which was founded by a former head of Air Tahiti, wants in a first phase to lease 3 ATR aircraft. Air Moana plans to fly to destinations in the Society Islands and the Northern Tuamotu Group. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is under increasing pressure over claims he attended a Downing Street party while England was in strict lockdown. In a leaked email, more than 100 people were invited to a Bring Your Own Booze party in May of 2020. The BBC's Rob Watson has more.
The mood is grim in the governing Conservative Party, and I think what this has done is for some MPs to awaken doubts that they were probably having about the Prime Minister's fitness for office. I mean, what happens? I guess it depends on the result of the investigation. If it finds that there were repeated violations of the restrictions and the Prime Minister was involved in some of these violations, I guess he could, number one, brazen it out. He could, two, come up with a heartfelt apology, or three, he could resign. It seems to me that the last one is rather unlikely, so more likely a one or a combination of the first two.
Australia's immigration minister is yet to confirm whether he will recancel Novak Djokovic's visa. There are now questions over whether the tennis star made a false declaration on his arrival form about his travel history 2 weeks prior to landing in Australia. The ABC's Megan Dillon reports.
Immigration Minister Alex Hawke has given no indication if he will intervene to deport the tennis world number one, less than a week out from the Australian Open. Novak Djokovic trained on centre court at Melbourne Park yesterday afternoon, but is yet to speak publicly about the saga. Djokovic had his visa cancellation overturned on Monday in the Federal Circuit Court, but the minister has the discretion to cancel his visa regardless of the decision. Meanwhile, questions have been raised over the tennis champion's travel declaration, with pictures emerging of him playing in Serbia less than 2 weeks before his flight from Spain to Australia.
In sport, retiring batsman Ross Taylor concedes it was hard to contain his emotions during his final test after he helped the Black Caps to an innings and 117-run win over Bangladesh in the second and final match in Christchurch. With New Zealand one wicket away from victory in the final session of Day 3, skipper Tom Latham tossed the ball to Taylor. The part-time spinner duly obliged, claiming in the last Bangladesh wicket with his third delivery to secure the win.
It was an emotional game for me and my family and friends and the teammates as well, but it was good to get the win. It had got quite flat there towards the end and I chucked it up and it was cool.
The series finished tied 1-1 after Bangladesh's historic victory in the first match. New Zealand Rugby are defending Black Ferns coach Glenn Moore's involvement in the decisions surrounding upgraded player contracts. Moore has been under the spotlight after a senior Black Ferns player last month alleged he had contributed to her having a mental breakdown. The allegation sparked an ongoing independent culture review into the Black Ferns environment, but NZR's Chris Lindrum doesn't agree with suggestions Moore's involvement is a concern.
Those coaches are our experts. They're paid as part of their role to identify and select squads. Clearly, the review is going to probably contain some important recommendations, but as I said earlier, don't want to preempt that. And in the meantime, there's important business to get down to for the players, which is to commence this upgraded program.
Around 30 Black Ferns players will receive a significant pay increase under the new contracts, which are understood to range from $60,000 to more than $130,000. The Black Ferns defend their World Cup title in Aotearoa later this year. And that's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, go to our website, rnzi.com.